everyone. Happy to have you here for another episode of Legacy Matters. Our show is growing, and the lives and legacies of the people around us have taken on a new importance as we take stock of what is most precious to us. As always, our show will focus on building and preserving your legacy, the importance of community, and the telling of stories we find amusing. Thanks for joining us. Now, enjoy the show.
Sure.
Bam.
Why not?
Starting it off.
Yes.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good to see you.
How's it going?
Great.
Good. We have a guest, and we're not going to say his name nor introduce him yet, but he was so good about not talking to us before the show. Like,
blue ribbon.
People are starting to understand that we really don't want to know anything about you so we can ask it on the
Sometimes
show.
I feel like we're being rude. I felt he was so good. It's like, is he being rude? No, he's just doing good.
Yeah.
He's just doing really good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, obedient, I guess, is or something.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
No, sure, I don't think he's obedient.
He was sassy just a minute ago. There's no way he's obedient.
Nope.
But anyway, let's thank the Comedy Corner Underground, which is in the lovely Corner Bar in
Seven Corners
uptown,
Minneapolis.
Sorry, thank you.
Yeah,
sorry, I was close.
Yeah.
Nope.
You were still in the right town.
They got to Uber it anyway. Yeah, no one knows things.
Right. They're not driving here.
I just a phone thing and say they have to Uber it.
If they're going to Uber here, it has to be real quick.
Wow. Yeah, they can't Uber anymore.
Oh,
our city's going to shit.
Okay.
Or is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what to say about that whole thing. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway.
I have a car. I'll be fine.
We'll avoid it. Oh, God. Well, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Comedy Corner Underground.
As always.
We should give a little shout out to, did you know, I just figured this out because I do another show. Did you know that the kitchen attached to this bar is the birthplace that he helped launch. So this was, was this also Bill?
Yeah.
Bill Murray, owner. Not that Bill Murray, the other Bill Murray.
Yeah, he's a little commissary kitchen down here.
Yeah. Helped launch Salsalisa, which is, everyone loves Salsalisa.
Salsalisa.
And then now is launching, it's CJ's Spicy Thai Pickles, which is Karen Storlene.
Yep.
Or Storlene, yeah.
Sure.
I think
Who doesn't love a pickle?
And they're frick-frackin' delicious.
They are good.
And are they dill or are they sweet and sour?
They're dill.
They're dill spicy.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I know, the sweet and
sour. The champion of pickles.
Yeah. Right. Sweet. Blech,
blech. Yep.
But, yes, out of this commissary kitchen have now these two products been launched.
Birthplace.
Yeah. Wow. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
To do that, to let people, start their business out of a kitchen. Because you need a commercial kitchen or you can't launch your product.
That's true.
So,
I think that's just really sweet. So thanks, Bill, for being a pillar of the community.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Yes.
And that's good here, salsa. I can't wait to try the pickles.
We saw him on St. Patrick's Day.
We did. And here we are. And I was like, God, how do I know that guy? It was just like.
Okay, awkward.
It was completely awkward.
It was awkward. And then Sam made it a little bit more awkward.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, how do I know you? And he's like. What the fuck? Anyway, it's what happens. We also need to thank Nail Ninja again.
Yes.
We've said a lot about them, but we have a commercial in the middle of the show.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Regarding the Nail Ninja. But they are in Northeast and
St. Louis Park.
Thanks. St. Louis Park.
How am I the one that remembers that?
I don't know, but you always get it. I rely on you for that one.
That's not a good thing.
But thank you. They're for sponsoring us, and we're going to pick up more sponsors here. Mm-hmm. We're already working on a couple. Mm-hmm. Local folks like that, it really works well for them.
Yeah.
Our adoring audience takes our word for the things that we bring in. Things that we value. So there you go.
Stuff we like.
So if we say it, you buy it. How about
there you go. Deal.
Works for us.
Cool.
Yeah. If you're listening, buy it.
We have a guest.
Oh, we do. Let's introduce that guest. We have not gotten to the point of figuring out this gentleman's last name.
Oh, we didn't do that, did we?
We all know that that's your strong suit.
Oh,
Sam always gets the last name right.
Yep.
You know what?
Or a name right.
And the other side of it is that, like, I can picture the name of the shop that
you're associated with, and we'll get to this in a moment, but I don't know that I could say it right either. But Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Get your face in that microphone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that this is today and not April Fool's, because I imagine myself sitting here for an hour.
Oh, no. Exactly.
You just not acknowledging me.
I could see it. Like, he was like, shit.
Are they like, when is this happening?
Come and say
when are we
going to
do that
me?
Show? That would be the. You just gave us the best show ever.
There's always
for
2025.
Us.
Well, anyway, our episode's over. Us. And
thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
I like it.
Chris, what is your last name?
McLeod.
Oh,
one of those tough ones.
Yeah, that one's pretty easy. Is that Scottish?
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there, like, what am I picturing? Like Highlander
exactly.
or something? Yeah, I'm a
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, although thanks. I think
I had to do a sword motion to remember the name. Of.
If you remembered my name, though, from email, you probably would have mispronounced it anyways. So I think it's fine.
What, is it spelled oddly?
It's M-A-C-L-E-O-D.
Yeah.
Never would have
so,
got that.
So, yeah. MacLeod.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Common right. way that people pronounce McLeod.
Oh.
People always get my last name right.
You have no idea what his last name is, do you?
No.
I'll spell it for you. I'll just spell it.
Okay.
D-I-C-K-H-U-T.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take your time.
Dacute, just like it looks.
It really is Dacute.
Just like it looks.
Okay.
Dacute, yeah. Just like it looks.
Yeah. It's spelled Dick Hutt.
Yeah.
And it has it been all of his life. And there is no getting away from it.
No.
Like, there's
it's
no
all good.
There's no looking at it like,
huh.
I think that doesn't say Dick Hutt. Like, no, it definitely says Dick Hutt.
There's
right
no
there
way,
on the paper.
No way around it.
I know. And he's a nice guy. But, you know, it's having a name like that, that it helps you become a regular person in life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
I agree.
Keeps you grounded.
Mm-hmm. Builds character.
It does.
That's what old people say.
So, did I say that?
I don't know.
So, Chris McLeod. Chris McLeod, not directly from Scotland
right.
or from
or
correct. I'm from California.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Like you grew up there?
I did.
We have a natural aversion to Californians here
Why?
In Minnesota. You really? No. I mean, cause they're
don't
fucking
put me
weird.
In that basket.
Yeah.
We had Jen Gilhoy. She's from Jackson. They're weird down there too.
Yeah, that's not California.
That's
though.
Not California.
Jackson,
that's southern
Minnesota, bro.
Not like Jackson, Florida.
But they're pretty close, right?
Oh,
they're pretty
sure.
they're
yeah,
like
they're
geographically
west of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're so far
pretty
west
close.
Of here.
Is that Jackson, yeah. Minnesota? You've been there too?
No.
Yes.
No.
Why?
Where is that?
I don't
okay,
know.
Where are you from in California?
I'm from the Bay Area.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We don't actually have an aversion. It's just a playful
I mean, most people are confused as to why you would leave California
well,
to
yeah,
come to Minnesota?
It's I'm not.
Like, yeah, well, I'm. We're going to get there.
Yeah. I'm
Let's
not.
Get
I like
there
Minnesota.
Now.
I'm usually like, nice. What was their name
so,
that brought you here?
Yeah. How did you end up here?
Yep.
What was their name? That's good.
Winter.
Winter. Her name was
Four Seasons.
Oh, okay. There
okay.
you go.
Yeah.
I knew a girl named Winter.
Yeah. Saw snow and went, that's cool.
I do know a girl named Winter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I know another girl named Winter.
You guys are from the same city. That's not that odd.
His joke is that no one would come to Minnesota but for love.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
there's, there's no other like
because
yeah.
of winter
Let's
and below
there.
Zero weather. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say there are a bunch of Fortune 500 companies here. We do have a lot of large companies, and they do lure in people who very quickly
like,
figure out that there are big companies in other cities too, and they leave.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They're like, I didn't have to come here.
So what did you bring you here?
So I did want Four Seasons. I was also living in a town of 300 people. Before I moved here.
300?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to be alone, and I was very alone. And then one day I woke up like a year and a half in, and I was like, I don't want to be alone anymore.
Yeah.
I was living in Germany. My mom passed away. And so I went back home to deal with that. And then my reaction to that was like, I don't want to be around people who are just like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, not good.
Yeah.
I think
you're like,
there's
don't
some
want to be around you.
Key component I missed, though, because we went from California. How many Bay Area? You weren't living in a town of 300 in the Bay Area.
I was.
Okay. So you were living in a very small town.
I was living in a small coastal town.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then, I mean, you say Bay Area.
It's a big area.
Area, California. It is a big area, but you assume densely populated.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. So across the Golden Gate Bridge and then like an hour on 101.
Oh, I've been
through the trees.
So point, that area. Like Point Reyes Station, if you've been there.
No.
Nope. Okay.
I mean, yep. I've probably driven past
sure.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is pretty sparsely mm-hmm. populated up there.
Yeah. So it's a lot of dairy farms.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Nice.
But I was working at a bakery there and interested in opening my own business, and I decided I didn't want to be alone anymore, and I also wanted to use local grains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in California, everything we use at the bakery was local except for the grain, because California is not a grain state.
Yep.
Right.
So I thought there would be a local grain economy here, and I moved here in 2014, and I discovered that there was not. There were like two farmers
that
would so
sell
funny, though,
small quantities
of grain.
Everything
gets bought.
And goes
huge yeah. quantities. Just
wouldn't
gone.
You think that we would have local grain though?
Yeah, I mean it's better now.
Do you know Kieran Foliard? Do you mm-hmm. know the yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, he's we've had him on a few times. Yeah. He's kind of a friend of the show. But I say that, and he's like
I don't
fuck
know
I
you.
Am.
I don't know you.
He would have said it so much yes. better. I wanted to try and put on an accent. I can't do it.
Was that an accent?
No, it was okay, not good. An accent. I wanted to, and then I avoided it because
you still
I
well, managed to good capture avoidance. His spirit.
Fact, like, yeah, thank
I
you.
I felt it.
Yeah,
he swore. So
that's
like
why
he's
I laughed.
Yeah.
He's like such he a nice here. Guy, but his, you know, a lot of his deal is really trying to build up that local.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. it's made. There's so much is produced here, but none of it's state. It's all about you can't
it's
buy
pretty
small
depressing.
Amounts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. And now I'm we're coming full circle, right? So you're in this small community just north of the Bay Area in California. Mm-hmm. Then what's the deal with the Germany part?
I studied abroad in Munich in college.
Okay.
And then after college, I lived in Cologne for 6 months, and then I came back. But in Germany, I discovered bread.
Because isn't
like
it
personally,
great?
Oh my God.
You know, it's been around for a long time,
so
but for myself.
We're talking about bread. Wait,
uh-huh. She and I have both lived in Germany
okay.
at various periods, and yeah. it's like it. You go there and you have the bread, and you're like, what in God's name are we doing in America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, like, mm-hmm. why is every bit of bread I'm eating here so much better than any bread I've ever had in
yep.
America? Mm-hmm. Well, not all yeah. of it, but some, mm-hmm. most of it.
Noticeably
yes.
better.
Yep. Yeah. So I really enjoyed the bread, and then also Brotzeit. If you're familiar with that term, right? So bread time,
mm-hmm.
which any meal can be bread time. And it's like literally just bread and spreads and vegetables and anything that can go on bread.
Yeah. I mean, that was like when you have brochen.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like someone carries over the little basket full of Schmierkäse and mm-hmm. und Tomaten Gewürzsalt und yeah, and then you just eat the bread stuff. It's so fucking good. Like seriously, it is just so incredibly good. And you're like, oh,
my stomach
thanks.
Is mm-hmm. growling. Mm-hmm.
And then I met somebody named Yulia, and her family owns a bakery. And like Yulia and all of her friends would go to her home to like party with her parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they live above the bakery, so they're
in Germany,
yeah.
I can
in a
picture
small
this
town,
scene.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know their commute is like a spiral staircase downstairs.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's like 2 dozen pairs of white clogs.
Yeah,
it's like one guy needs two dozen pairs of white clogs.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just like really appreciated the relationship between my friend and her parents.
Yeah.
And the dad was the head baker, and the mom ran the bakery. And my dad worked in finance and was grumpy all the time. And like came home.
So not the same.
Is he still around?
Yeah.
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 And you love his grumpy old.
Well, he's retired and he's like a happy man now.
I'm just kidding. That's usually how it works.
I just don't want to get you in any trouble.
Right.
But I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Germans, you're like, how close can you be to a family? Oh, I guess quite close. Yes, everyone's
exactly.
happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't see. It's not modeled very well typically in the United States.
Yeah.
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 So I understand that.
Yep.
Okay, so Yulia.
And then I was just like, I should be a baker. Like that
yes,
was like my
you
thought.
You should.
Yeah. Like, how old were you at this point?
20.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
To have
direction and be 20.
Well, and like, to be the age where you can be like, I just saw something I think I like.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my life out of that.
But I don't understand what I saw.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of work.
It was like when I was like 20, I was like, oh, it was like their quality of life. That's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're going to be, you should have just been a baker in Germany is what you're saying.
Maybe.
Because you should have
So it's not the same here?
You should have made every One in your family moved to Germany and
I'm baking bread, come hang out.
Learn the culture and then do that, and then you would have been in bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know they have a really nice thing going on over there. Americans like to there's some feud that happened. There's something that happened in the past or something, some feud between America and Germany.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, sorry. But
I'm just going to let that one dangle.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a rough period of time, but the culture is, you know, thousands of years old. They've got, like, you go around the villages and they've got the little number above the door that's like, our house was built in 1117. And you're like, are you serious? You've been living in this house.
Right.
Your family or someone's been living in this house since 1117. They're like, yeah, why?
Yeah.
Like, well, so weird. That didn't happen in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then,
do you know what a house payment is?
Yes.
No.
And they did go through, and it's highly regulated, and they did go through a rough period where they, you know, they kind of their whole culture wanted to take over the whole world in some way. It was a bad time.
It was a bad time.
Bad period of time.
But it wasn't the bread.
But it's not the sum total of what Germany is.
Right.
Like, if you go to Germany, there's a lot more to it than that.
Right.
Not that they don't deserve a little, you know, little whatever it is. For that, but yes, it's a lot more complex culture than just that.
So, did you get recipes while you were over there and work on, like, I'm gonna
just steal
this
stuff? You steal their recipes?
I didn't. Their recipes are a bit different because they have like flour tanks under their bakeries because they don't have space to store you know, tons of flour.
Right.
And all of their flour is like a mix of like whole wheat and rye and stuff.
Yeah,
and so the recipe is like.
Meant for the flour that they have in Europe, not for American flour.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that wouldn't work anyways.
Yeah. I do text Stefan. That's Julia's dad. He's my bread dad.
Your bread dad?
Yeah.
Yes. Your bread dad.
I'll text him. I'll ask for a recipe. And like he'll just like write one out that's like half not helpful.
Right. You're like, I can't decipher what?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But like they're all at it. Like he doesn't really need to read anything. He just like has them all in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
as
incredible.
A good baker should.
That's crazy.
Yes,
that's
crazy. Even though baking is not, like, I'm by no means an
exact
expert.
Science.
Well, it is, but like, I was a pizza dough maker.
Same thing.
I get where you're going. No, it's not the same thing. But I was at I did that at a point where we actually made the dough, right? Like so, and then since then. I bake bread and my family bakes bread and I don't need a scale and measurements to make you a decent pizza dough or a decent loaf of bread, but to make the consistently the same thing is a whole different thing. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I know it's an exact science. I get that.
It's not.
It's not.
It's a lot of intuition. Like you don't, you know, like you start with a recipe, but like you have to pay attention. The whole process,
right?
You know,
right?
Because sometimes the yeast accepts the water differently, or something.
Just
you know,
it's
like
in the
it's,
mood that
or
day.
Yeast. Yeah. I mean, the flour. I mean, like things just are different.
Yeah. Yes,
and you have
especially
to understand
when you use like local ingredients that aren't blended to be like a plug.
So they're
going to
vary. Yeah.
So what's the guy's name? Stefan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Chris,
your bread dad.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ja, kann ich.
Yeah.
Auch. Ich auch.
Nein.
Ein bisschen. Yeah.
No, you'd have to just to.
Oh, God. This is our show. Look at us. We get to. He makes German bread. I love it. I had no idea. I mean, other than I've been to your bakery.
It's also a German word.
That didn't.
The bake or the.
Lambda bread.
Wait.
Yeah.
Going to his bakery didn't give it away for you?
No.
Okay.
It was.
Sorry, I had to ask.
It was
like,
Kelsey Sharp. It was Kelsey Sharp.
Okay. Sorry.
I wasn't ready.
She introduced me. I get this.
Okay.
And then we talked briefly, but I thought your name was like
Max
from what we hear. Yeah. So really, though, where is your bakery?
Yeah. So it's on East Lake Street.
Okay.
It
and
is
it's name of it again?
Launa Bread.
Ooh, good name.
So L-A-U-N-E.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means mood or whim or vibes. So gute Laune is good vibes.
Yeah.
And so when I lived in Munich and people invited me to a party and I was like, what can I bring? The response I got was bring nur deine gute Laune.
Yeah.
So to translate, just bring your good vibes.
Yeah.
Nice.
And which is just, honestly, everybody should use that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it's like, don't bring a pasta salad, just bring your good vibes.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Well, but what if you like need the guests to populate the party with some, like...
Well, someone else is bringing that. Like, I want to bring the good vibes.
Yeah, like, I'm just I don't saying, wanna, like, someone's got to bring the macaroni salad.
Someone else bring
salad.
Chips and salsa because I will have the good vibes.
Right.
Covered. You know, I think, and for a person like me, like, that would work really well because I'm pretty bad at organizing the thing that I'm supposed to bring. You know this. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, like I'll go places and they've got the whole parties all ready to go. And I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to bring anything. And they're like, yeah. But now
that's
I can
why
say
we told
I brought
you to bring
the good
ice.
Vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it.
And, you know, like, so part of baking is like your own mood,
yeah,
or the quality of what you make,
yeah,
you know, like the intuition part of it is like if you're rushing, like your bread might not turn out great,
right?
And if you're just like, you know, focused on it and like really like working through the process, it'll reflect at the end, yeah. And then also part of it is creating community through baking and sharing bread and learning how people experience the bread that you make, yeah, is really special.
Nice.
All right.
I love this.
Cool. Yeah, I wanna get a little deeper into that.
Okay.
Because,
get into the bread.
Yeah, because okay, so let's just say for instance that one or two of us, or maybe even three of us, grew up in like kind of rural Minnesota in sort of like redneck, what's the word I'm looking for?
Rural works. Like you could walk down a few blocks into the cornfield and get some fresh corn.
Yes. Yeah. But let's say that talking about like let's just for a moment say that talking about like the bread turning out better based on your mood, like what you bring to it, doesn't resonate or make sense with certain people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage those people to eat your bread.
Yeah,
there you go.
Because right. Because yes, the sort of lifeless bread that we've been left to consume here in Minnesota or in America.
I know,
mostly.
It's a wonder we can enjoy it.
I know, like there's this stuff, and you
I see what you did there.
It's a wonder. Yeah. I got your little gym.
It's a dig.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've
funny
that is
it
no, it was good.
Okay, it's nice. Hard to put. It's hard to not sound a little woo-woo or something about it when you say these things, but it's absolutely true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. When you eat things that are made by people who truly love their craft and really care about the product,
yeah,
and commune, like get in and know the thing, it's better stuff.
Yeah.
And this is true. I mean, this is true of like, you know, like I've been in construction, like people who actually care about what they're doing in construction give you a better product than, yeah, those who just, yeah, want to slap something together too. It's not, mm-hmm, like we can't see it in other,
right,
places, but yeah, I eat some of the bread from Chris's shop and I'm telling you, you're like, oh man, that
like
is
like you've never
really
had bread
good
before.
Yeah.
You're
like,
you
what
eat that bread, you're like,
I've been eating.
You get, yeah, mad. You call your mom and you get mad at her because, yeah, it's like, what have you been doing? Like, why was I raised like this? It should be round, not in a loaf.
I thought you loved me.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know why like Wonder Bread became such a popular
thing? I bet you do.
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Well, people weren't trusting bakers in like the 20s. Because, huh, sorry, like, you know, 100,
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because they were putting things like sawdust in their flour. They're,
right,
trying to cut the price of it. And,
right,
so,
right,
they were putting other stuff in their bread to make it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so there just became a general mistrust. And so when, like, you know, mechanization and industrialization happened, it's like, oh, like, we trust factory food.
Yeah.
Right.
But also,
that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think? Why?
And
what did it lead to?
Bread.
How are we not, yeah, better off for,
right,
all of the factory food?
Right. All the factory food.
And all of the processed, yeah, crap we,
right,
eat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think that it still has its place. You know, it's affordable
for some
people.
Of course
it does. Yeah. But, yeah, like what you say is like what we're baking, there's an intention behind it. And also there's a connection to the farmers.
Yeah.
And so I think there's more involved because you can really appreciate our bread, partly because we do a lot of communication and talk about like how we source all of our ingredients.
Yep.
You know, so we get a lot of things from small farms in Minnesota. So,
yep,
in Moorhead is Mark Asengard and his family. And then in Dawson is Luke Peterson and his wife. And they're, you know,
these are future guests on the show, I assume.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, we had Doug Hilgendorf on years ago. But he's, you know, he was organic before organic was in any way
he was
sexy.
Like, I didn't know I was doing that.
Yeah.
I was just doing,
yeah,
what,
yeah,
I was doing.
Yeah, yeah. And he, yeah, makes these, yeah, fantastic, yeah, chips.
Yeah, Jeff comes to the bakery like twice a month to deliver flour.
Jeff.
His son.
Hilgendorf?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know the Hilgendorfs?
I mean, I know Jeff.
No shit. I love it. Oh, that's awesome. No, I mean, I love that stuff because there are people who are out there working on the things that are going to make, you know, for me, really, it's they're out there working on the things that are going to make our children healthier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already too old.
Yeah. Yeah. The damage is done. Like, I'm not going uphill from here.
I mean, if it can't be my own kids, my grandkids need to eat more like the Europeans eat. Mm-hmm. That things are made much closer to where you live.
Yeah.
There's a direct connection between the farm and the food on your plate. Mm-hmm. Things like this. Like,
and when you have that too, I feel like there's less waste because like you,
yeah,
you don't want to throw away something when you like, you know that they made it.
Yeah.
You
know,
totally.
So when you go to a bakery and you, you know, like talk to me or one of our staff, it's like, there's already a connection.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can sort of trace where we get our ingredients from. And so it's like, there's a strong bond between the food and then it tastes good, yeah, and it's nutritious too.
Right. You're like, okay.
And you just feel good about what you bought,
mm-hmm, yep,
and what it's doing for your body and your health and all of it. It's just better.
You don't have to read the 45 ingredients that are in a slice of bread, which is frightening as hell.
Yeah. Right.
Well, there's the six. Okay, I like that.
Oh, and they're all locally sourced and good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay, so... So I think you said something around 2014, Germany. Someone died, did you say?
His mom.
My mom.
Your mother.
Died in 2012. Yes. 2012. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And was she in Germany or she was in California. California. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you had been in college.
I was in Germany the second time. So I was out of college, but I was in Germany again.
Okay.
Yep.
You loved it. You're like, I got to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Yeah.
Were you there specifically trying to learn about the bread industry at that point? Or
I thought I wanted to work in marketing.
Well, of course.
And then I was
so you go to Germany
looking for a job. And then I was like, wait, I want to go to a bakery. Yeah.
And do you know the word for marketing in German? Is it like one of those words that's like 16 words put together that's like... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those ones are the ones I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not going to learn German.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that one's way too big. It was all the technical terms were way too long.
Yes.
Anyway, so your mother passed away. Sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. But that brought you back.
Was she young at the time?
59.
59, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have guessed. Mm-hmm. Well, but it brought you back. So you came back from Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back out to California, I assume, for a while?
Yeah.
What brought you to Minnesota?
Okay, I moved here in 2014.
Okay.
I wanted to have Seasons. I wanted to open a business, but not in California.
Right.
Seasons, I understand, but that was the I want Seasons. Let me look at a map.
This is perfect. What is it?
Okay, I agree. We don't want to bring people to our state, but I
agree. Don't let everybody know. It's a pretty well-kept secret.
Who figure this out, not understand. Like, you can't tell people how nice it is.
The only people from Minnesota.
Well, it's like perfect if you want to suffer.
Yeah, thank you. thank you. Now you're...
Yeah, yes, you I did, don't know. So ready. When I first opened... So I moved here in 2014, and I worked at Rustica.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For like 9 months, and then I quit, and I started Launa Bread.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, I was renting space from Sun Street Breads. So Solve Tofty, I don't know, maybe she's been on the show.
No.
And I didn't have a storefront, so I did a subscription system and I did bike home delivery.
Oh yeah.
So I was biking year round.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Jesus, you took Europe.
So you had the fat tires, huh?
You took it full on. You were like, I'm gonna be European.
Yeah. Biking and delivering bread that he made.
I know. I love it.
So I would twice a week I would bike for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So in the winter, I think the coldest day was -20.
Right. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
But you lived right through it.
Yeah.
And you were biking around with bread you'd made.
Yes.
And so
so you were warm on the inside. I mean, you're fine. You got nothing to worry about.
I know.
It's great.
I mean, you've got the glow of a bread man.
Yeah.
Like that's
what people call me.
They call you bread man?
Yeah.
Bread man.
Well, there you go.
And then, it's like you stop at the door and there's two kids and they're fighting over who gets to have me give them the loaf of bread.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was 2015 and we still have a lot of those customers. And so it's amazing that children awesome. Have been eating my bread.
Yeah.
Or, you know, our yeah. bread for such a long time.
That's awesome. Right.
Oh, and these are probably healthier and happier and probably just more decent all around.
You're kind of better human beings. Better I'm going with that. We could say it.
Yeah. I don't know them.
They're awesome.
It, so I'll tell you what, if you have brats, if you're yeah. listening to this show,
yeah. stop
all
feeding them the crap.
Better bread.
You need better bread.
Start if you've raised children that you wouldn't wish on anyone else, yeah. let me tell you.
Stop
bread,
feeding them the crap.
Good bread is the fix.
Got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So, so anyway, but in a 6 hour day biking, right? But not every day was 6 hours on your route, right?
It was just Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Okay. When did you bake that bread?
The day before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, mm-hmm. because
that's a
I
big
mean,
deal.
Bread baking yeah. is one of those things where we did have Danny Klecko on the show a couple yeah. of times. He's a bread baker. But anyway, and a poet now. and a good one at that, and an author.
It could
but
only
anyway,
be one thing.
No, nah, I guess. Yeah, well, yeah. ask John Munson. Yeah, anyway, you typically are like the first person up. Every day, like a bread baker
in the
like,
world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. when I first started, because I was renting a active bakery, I showed up in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I worked from
they
noon.
Had already done their thing.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah. So I started mixing at like noon, and then at 8 or 9 p.m. I would bake.
Yeah.
I would go home and then wake up at 5 a.m. to package it and deliver it.
Did wow. the other ones call you like the lazy baker at that time?
Exactly. Jeez.
I hope. I feel yeah, like bakers
oh,
are nice.
Here bankers
comes the afternoon
like,
baker.
They would not be mean like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus they're like, he's paying. He's rent. Renting from us. So yeah. we. Mm-hmm.
Is it a supportive community?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But to continue my journey,
yeah,
I did that for like a year and a half, and then I got married and I moved to Switzerland.
Mm.
And I
nice.
Lived in Switzerland and I worked at a bakery in Basel for a year.
Did you marry a Swiss gal?
No, she's from North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. They have that strong connection to the
yeah.
Swiss, though.
Yeah.
I get it.
Uh-huh.
I made that up.
She had a job.
No one's going to check.
Lined up there.
Oh, she had a job.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I worked there for about a year and a half, and then I was like the loneliest person in the world because Swiss people don't need friends.
Yeah.
Because they have
because
money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You mean because they're happy already and they're not looking
because
for more?
Because they have
yeah.
other people's money, too.
Yes, exactly.
That's the weird part.
Yeah.
La, 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 la.
Oh, they have mounds and money, and they're
God.
Just like, yeah,
we're
no.
good. Look at us stereotyping right. the Swiss. I'm sure they're lovely.
Oh,
it
man.
Was like I would go to like pick up soccer games and nobody would talk to each other.
Really?
And I was yeah.
It doesn't surprise me, kind of.
So I had, you know, at that time I was working at midnight, and so my general life
yeah.
wasn't very like supportive to
right.
meeting people
right.
in the
right.
world.
Right. You're not available at happy hour.
Well, this
yes.
is a
yeah.
recurring theme for you. You
not
are,
anymore.
You are
well,
not
good.
Allowed to isolate yourself and be lonely. You're a social animal. You need friends. You need people.
Yeah, mm. I do now.
Did it make you feel terribly uncomfortable when we didn't want to talk to you when you got here?
You're like,
oh my
God.
Our
guy. Like, we,
a little,
well, little did we know.
Triggered PTSD
yeah.
from
bring it back.
The
European tour.
God, what a bunch jerks. Of dicks we are.
Suck.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry
I think
about
it's a
that.
Balance. I like to have alone time and also be around people.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there sort of a stereotype amongst the baking world that bakers are kind of a solitary lot anyway? Isn't that?
Different.
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like you're just making that up
again. Sweeping.
Yep.
Leading witness.
Sweeping generalizations
yes.
about nothing.
Yep.
That's what our show
okay.
is all about. We don't
now
know.
Why'd you tell them the title?
I don't. I especially don't know nothing.
Yeah.
I do know that it's time for a break.
Okay.
I agree. And I think we should just. Abruptly.
That is abrupt.
Okay.
That was pretty abrupt. No, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
It would only be more abrupt if we were in the middle of a sentence. And
yeah, I should have cut him off. Oh, I get what you did. I missed it.
Save the world. It could be up to you. Wait a second. Wait a minute. And we're through.
Kinetic Legacy is the company that powers the Joe Contractor app. Their unique platform blends the good parts of social tech with their one-of-a-kind data organizing system, giving communities large and small a safe, private space to stay connected and to keep information and memories organized. If you and your community have a shared purpose or passion and are looking for a better way to stay connected, contact Kinetic Legacy today at kineticlegacy.us. Find out how groups from contractors to campers, tribal communities, unions, and alumni organizations are finding their way to meaningful new spaces in this increasingly digital world. Again, that's kineticlegacy.us.
If you're a fan of the show, you know that I love the outdoors. Several years ago, I stopped by a small, independent, and very much American-made little shop in Clarissa, Minnesota, called Battle Lake Outdoors. They sell the best quality canoeing packs, hunting packs, firefighting packs, and much more. Check them out at battlelakeoutdoors.com and use the coupon code LegacyMatters for a 5% discount on your order. Again, that's battlelakeoutdoors.com.
Hey, this is Kate. Visit a Nail Ninja salon and you will find yourself in a salon experience like something you've only imagined could exist or that you thought only existed in places far cooler than Minnesota. Nail Ninja feels like the unholy union of a badass tattoo joint and the International Space Station. The best equipment, exceeding state regulations for sterilization, comes together with the absolute best artists in the industry. No more boring shit. Seriously, this is a different experience and one you don't want to miss out on. Book an appointment today online at nailninjampls.com.
Wonder Woman Construction is a Minneapolis-based, woman-owned residential and commercial construction and electrical company. Lori and her team pride themselves on their commitment to long-term green and sustainable building practices, and they apply their deep understanding of building science to each project they take on. They are dedicated to the complete satisfaction of every client. One more thing that you absolutely cannot miss about Wonder Woman Construction is the fact that every employee loves what they do and truly enjoys working with each other. The best projects are those that are done by happy people, and Wonder Woman Construction is full of happy people. Visit WonderWomanConstruction.com to get started on your happiest project ever.
Save the world, it could be up to you. Wait a second, wait a minute, and we're through.
This show is proudly produced by Divine Fox Productions. Do you want to start a show but don't know where to begin? Do you lack the technical skills to get your show started and your voice out into the world? Enter Divine Fox Productions. If you have an idea that you're passionate about sharing through a podcast, whether it be audio, video, or both, visit their website at www.divinefoxproductions.com to see if this tremendous group of people might be a great fit for you.
Too late. Second half, we started. We're just jumping right
now
in.
Now we actually recorded.
Woo!
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So I think it's over. So, Chris, let's see. Bread.
Well, so you're baking bread.
Yeah, so you're sitting there baking bread. So you've got your own bakery. I witnessed, I can attest to the fact that you have a bakery that bears a name that I assume you gave it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any partners in this business?
I do. Her name is Tiff Singh.
Why isn't she here? Is she more interesting than you?
Because
you
the
didn't invite.
Well, jeez, I mean, yeah, what are we doing?
Did we, did says we, the guy did who I, did the invite.
Yeah, did I pick the wrong person?
No.
No. We often don't do things together because there's just too much work to do.
Yeah.
And also, she has a kid.
Yeah.
And I think would prefer to be with her
her
daughter than with
most people that hang out with us would prefer to be with their children. Yeah,
you mean
I get
that.
I get that.
Rather than us?
Yeah.
She'd rather spend time with her own child?
That's probably an easy pick.
She must be nice. No. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Must be one hell of a kid. Because I've got three of them, and I'm like, no.
No.
You take them. So there's something for me to do tonight?
It's my turn.
Ooh, yeah. I'm just kidding. I'd spend time with Andy any day.
Yeah, just the one.
just that one.
My youngest is a girl, and she's the best.
Yeah. Don't need to tell
I don't.
That, but you do.
I'm not really trying to put you on the spot. No, but you do have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
A partner who's also super passionate, I assume, about the kind of Because there's more than just bread here.
Well, yeah.
This isn't just I make bread.
Right.
Yeah. This is a social community building a better future kind of bread place.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And how do you find another person that wants to do that as well? You just...
So we worked at Rustica together.
Okay.
And then...
God, I was hoping you'd say Craigslist.
I know, that's where I was going.
I knew it worked. That was going to
be my thing. Do you put an ad in Craigslist and just go...
Looking for super passionate community bread-making person.
Yeah.
And you found one.
Yeah.
No, you worked together at Rustica,
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us what Rustica is, because...
Oh, sure. Rustica is a bakery in Uptown, unlike this place.
Right. This is everything's in Uptown for me these days.
That's where it started for you.
Yeah.
Who made the bread for Filio? Do you remember?
Parasoli Bakery.
Oh, it was Parasoli. Yeah,
they had their own bakery that they just bought out and said, "You're making all of our bread."
Yeah.
All of the desserts, everything.
And I'll tell you, I would guess that Filio's bread was a lot of people's introduction to good bread.
Yeah.
Not you know, I'm sure a lot of people have had good bread other places, but they made good bread.
Good bread.
It was a restaurant that provided it every time you went.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
So like, that you might be onto something there.
Yeah, like thoughtful bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you found a partner. Rustica, do they make good? I mean, you got to say nice things about them because you used to work there and they're... in the industry.
Yeah, it's not the largest community ever.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't say anything bad. I'm not trying to get that out of you.
Right.
But I assume, I mean, here's the problem with the name Rustica, is if you're Rustica and you make crap bread, you've named your thing wrong. Like, Rustica sounds like a good bread maker.
Like Cafe Zupa that has bad soups?
Yes.
You can't do that. Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you name your store after soup? And then everyone's like, oh, yeah. Don't go to Cafe Zupa and eat soup. They make that for shit, but they make some other things good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
I guess.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, Rustica is very different now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I enjoyed working there, but it wasn't the bread or like the community that I wanted to work in, which is probably why I left.
Okay.
And when I moved here, I just wanted to work in a bakery and just sort of like figure out the bread scene.
Right.
I met Tiff there originally. I didn't like her very much.
I get it.
I was very grumpy and still like mourning my mom in certain ways. And
used to be.
She would come in at like 3 in the morning. I came at 1 a.m. a lot. And she would come at 3 and like start talking about poop jokes. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Like, I don't have time for this.
God, I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, exactly. I can see why there was a problem.
I'm just kidding. I think she'd be my best friend.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
Anyways, I like warmed up her poop jokes, and it was 10 years later, and
there is
still,
a problem. Being
now she has a daughter, and so like poop jokes are more common now.
There is a problem being in the bread making industry where your hands are all over food and you're making poop jokes.
That's,
it's not the.
I mean, you know, that's how the bread is made. Like this behind the scenes.
He says, looks at you like,
yeah.
That's gross.
So she joined in 2019.
Yeah.
And then we rented Bakersfield, so Kieran's spot in Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so
of course.
You definitely know Kieran.
Yeah. So we rented Bakersfield for 2 years and did farmers markets and subscriptions.
When you say rented Bakersfield, what does that mean?
So the same thing. We used their space when they were done using
it. Okay, so Bakersfield, who also is another, they're really a thoughtful bakery too, right?
Yeah, they're a mill and a bakery. Yeah. So we source the majority of our flour from them.
Nice.
Okay, great.
Yes. Yeah. And we have a really wonderful relationship with them because we like took over their space, you know, 3 days a week for 2 years.
Right.
Yep.
And so... you know, we give each other feedback or just if we have like baking issues or questions, we talk to each other.
Nice. And they've got, theirs is all wood fired, right? They're, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like big ovens and they're all wood fired. What are yours, wood or
it's
gas? Gas, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. In California, I did wood fired ovens, a different style, but it's too much work.
It's a lot of work.
I was
going to
say, because then you need
it would be a lot of work.
It's, and also in California, it makes more sense because they use almond trees and, you know, like the almond orchards, fields, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
They cut them down every like 10 years. And so it's like a sustainable, I don't know if that's sustainable, but they're reusing something.
Sure.
Right.
Whereas,
sure, they get a system going.
Yeah.
You use the wood and plant more trees.
And whereas here, there's not really like a nut business.
Yeah,
right. We already cut down the forest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, you realize there was a point in history where someone looked out at the giant forests of Minnesota and was like, oh, it's endless. We could never cut it all down.
Yeah.
And then they did.
And then they did.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
We still have a lot of trees here, but they cut them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them.
Yeah, except for one little spot. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm not getting into the gas versus what. I don't. You make great bread. But but anyway, so you took over Bakersfield for a while and then?
And then we found our own spot.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've had our storefront for about 2 years and a few months. And it's been wonderful. I feel very lucky to be in Longfellow. I think our neighborhood is so kind and everybody that comes in is so kind. I think also maybe like a pat on the back is sort of like the work that we do to like attract people who care about food.
Yeah.
And I write a newsletter every 2 weeks or so. And I'm always in a way like surprised when people talk about it and talk about appreciating what I write about. And it's like cool to be like, cool. I have a voice and people care about my voice.
It's like doing a podcast and somebody actually runs into someone. Yeah. Like, oh, you
imagine
heard that show.
Mm-hmm.
Getting messages out isn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, and in the absence of you writing a newsletter or coming on a show like this, like the message never gets out.
Mm-hmm.
It just sticks with you. Mm-hmm. But so you've got, what's in your newsletter? Like what kind of, I'm always curious about newsletters because I've never written one and I don't understand.
Do you say I've never written or read one?
I've never written nor read one.
Okay.
I mean, like if I could read, I'd read one, but thanks for bringing that up.
No, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. So the last one was this weekend and I wrote about whole grain milling.
Okay.
So the Hilgendorf's, right?
Really?
Yeah. Cause we talked with Jeff. Like I said, we talked with Jeff.
That's so weird to
us. So, you know, part of what we talk about or like write about is relaying what we learn from farmers.
Right.
And so part of what we're trying to do is connect people back to like the food that they're eating.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the food comes 3 hours away, it's very close. And so Jeff was talking about how they plant buckwheat and corn when the barn swallows return.
Okay.
Yeah, and how they always plant oats on April 21st.
Okay.
Is there a reason for this?
Granddad did that.
Because that's the way they did
it. Okay. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Is Doug still around, you know? Is Doug still?
I don't know. Okay. I email Lynn the order, and then Jeff comes and drops it off.
No shit. I mean, honestly, I haven't talked to anyone about Doug Hilgendorf. But that was one of, I mean, I just loved meeting that guy and loved the show because he was so passionate about the work that he did and just such a salt of the earth farmer guy. But really, really... kind and passionate about things. And I don't know. But anyways,
it's weird. People that are passionate about stuff a lot of times can be kind and good people to be around.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true.
But and then you work with this kid, and you wrote a post about it. This is such a weird show. Sometimes, maybe we should do some.
Can you imagine being a guest on this show? I mean, yes. Think how weird it is for us. Think about the people coming on the show. Like, what the hell is going on?
There is no way.
Yeah, it's always
there
connected.
There's no way I could have known that because Kelsey Sharp was like, "Oh, come meet me at the studio. I got to show you whatever we were talking about." And then she's like, let's go next door and
grab some bread,
get some snack and some tea. And I'm like, sure, I'll go next door with you. And then I meet you. I have no idea that these connections exist.
No.
And there they are.
It's weird how big Minnesota is. It's not that big.
Oh, no, not at all. It's a small community,
which is good.
Yeah. I went to my girlfriend's Thanksgiving dinner and her aunt's boyfriend was like, oh, I know Mark. We used to go to the gym together. He's one of my farmers in Askegard, in Moorhead.
Moorhead, nice.
And
of
I was like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And the next day I emailed him, I was like, do you know Sid? And he's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I work out with him. Why? What'd he say?
We used to go to the gym together.
It is a weird small community that way. It seems like there's too many people. Like when I'm driving around and people are zipping past me at 100 miles an hour and cut me off, I feel like there's a lot of people out there I don't know and don't want to know.
Right.
Yeah. But then you start talking to people and it turns out we all seem to know each other.
Right. It's you meet people you like and they know people you like. It's just so weird.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. Why can't we remember when we're driving that we probably know the person whose life we're risking?
Because the way they're driving
in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Because
like
all you see is like, oh, that guy's driving like an asshole.
I'm just saying, instead of driving like an asshole, maybe think like, you know what? I probably know one of every seven of the people driving out there along the road, I should be nicer.
Should be a little more cautious. Like,
yeah, these are all probably people I know because the more I look into it, the closer I am. Anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't make just Brad. I see a Mill City running sweatshirt.
I run too.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you look like a runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you weren't talking to me.
No.
Got it. Okay.
you and I are past our running days.
If ever.
I know. Well, you played soccer.
Yeah, I suppose.
You were so fit at one point. I was fit once.
There was that month.
What kind of running do you do?
I like to run fast but long distance. Or like 5K, 10K, 10 mile half marathon.
And do you have time to do that?
I do.
That's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I signed up for the Twin Cities Marathon. Which I'm excited about.
Oh, cool.
They canceled first time? Last year.
I signed up for last year's, and then I ran it by myself.
A lot of people did.
I did it 3 weeks later, and I ran around Cedar Lake, Lake of the Isles, and then six loops around Bodega-Mascosa.
Really? Yeah. To get your 26.2 or whatever?
In? Yeah, and I didn't want to hit stop signs or stoplights.
Yeah. Right.
So, it was fun. I don't know. I made time to run today. It's something about like standing on my feet all day is like doesn't feel like I'm doing anything, which is an absurd statement.
Right.
Right.
Agreed.
Yes. So then I want
but
to.
But I get that you want to like get right,
do
somewhere.
Something.
It's like I want like real movement. Yeah, that's not just like hustling,
shuffling around a kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why do I get a little bit sort of envious or jealous of people who take such good care of themselves?
I don't know, but the snark can't. On your face was
it's not
like,
snark. It's just like, I swear it's like, not snark.
It's a mild it was jealousy. Like,
I'm a dad with three kids and no jealousy. Time, and I don't. Where's my drink?
It's the kids thing. Because yeah. I used to be
gone
so
someday.
I feel like I used to be so active and now
you mean
everyone's
used
like,
to do things?
Yeah. Now I'm like I can barely make it through a day.
Right. I mean they're great and all, but dear God, do they drain the life
I
out
know.
Of you?
You get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you like to run fast? Fast and long. Why? Those two things don't go together. You go slow and long.
Why can't he like what he wants to like?
Fast and short.
You can like that.
Run fast and long. You can do both.
What's that?
You can do both for sure.
But then there's
hard.
You meet these people.
Yeah, just
saying,
right away. You got to work up to it. I'm guessing you don't go day one running fast and long and going forever.
I'm going to start running today and I'm going to run a marathon.
God, I gotta get you out on. I'll take you on a 500 mile canoe trip or something. I can still do that shit. Runners,
that's all.
I mean, they're just like keep up, old man. Like, there's no way I could keep up.
No,
I can't. Runners.
Do you like portaging?
I do. I love it.
I love it too.
Do you?
Yeah.
You want to go on a canoe trip someday?
Sure.
Yeah, 2025.
That changed his attitude really.
I know.
Fast.
See how happy he got.
Yeah. Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Like.
I used to run on portages. I can't anymore. I'm mm-hmm. down.
You have little wheels that you put the canoe on now. Uh-huh.
Look at this.
I am seeing it.
I went to the Quetico last year.
Okay. It was. You two are out.
Yep.
Sam's moving on.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
He's muting
Sam
our
has
mics.
Left the building.
Mark and I'll just
I
be
this?
Here
I
hanging
will
out.
Turn them down.
Don't.
Yeah, no, so for those of you who don't know, we have here in Minnesota.
Both of them know.
All three of our listeners probably know this already, but just in case. We have the Boundary Waters, and the Boundary Waters is a...
wonderful.
A protected land space.
Yes. I'm not sure. I think it's a federally mandated, but it's a Minnesotan thing for sure. And it's a protected wilderness area that is designed ultimately for...
wilderness experiences.
Yeah. And canoeing is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. There are other things that people do there.
Not a lot of roads, not a lot of ways to get around.
No,
canoe is the way.
Yeah. Yes, and it's the Boundary Waters Wilderness Area, BWC, and is the C stands for canoeing?
Yeah.
No? Doesn't
Boundary
it?
Waters
mm-hmm.
yeah.
so.
Canoeing
area. But people do other things too.
Yeah.
Canada, at one point, around the same time, I assume, they established sort of an equally sized, maybe slightly larger, wilderness canoeing area called the Quetico, just above that in Canada. So you were up in the Quetico. Where'd you go?
Started in Lake Sag, Sag, I don't know. How do you pronounce that?
Lake Sagworks. It's easier. Yeah.
Saginaw. There's Saginaw, and then there's another one. But anyway.
But yeah. Yes. And I forget the...
But you were on the American side then.
Started there, and then went to Canada through Cache Bay.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was also basically like running hard and fast. We did 5 days, and we did, you know, like 25 miles a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like 10 hours of paddling a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was incredible. I'm in. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell people about portaging, since that's a strange word?
Well, it's the French Canadians would say it's portaging.
Yes. Stop it. It's just carrying stuff.
Portaging. Yeah, anyway.
It's just carrying stuff from one body of water to the next.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have
all your stuff.
Yeah, all your stuff. Don't leave it behind.
You know, that's right. Mm-hmm. Don't leave anything on the trail. Yeah, I build wanigans, which are a traditional canoeing pack. They're made of wood, but they've got straps on them so that you can carry them on your back. But that is your equipment pack or one of your food packs. I'll tell you about that later, but anyway, yes, wanigans, look them up, it's fun. But yeah, portaging, you just you're moving from one lake to the next, and there's no water connection between the two, so you put your you might put a pack on your back and a canoe on your shoulders and walk through it. You might just carry a pack. You might, if you're not feeling up to carrying much, you might just carry the paddles and a couple of fishing rods or something. But yeah, it's portaging. Mm-hmm. So, is that what I was supposed to do?
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, it's your show now.
Good job, Sam.
You started talking.
You're asking canoeing. Questions.
Yeah, you started talking canoe, and I'm like, yeah, just go ahead. Like,
what do you want to know?
Yeah, just ask it, or take it over. It's your show. Yeah. So you enjoy that?
I do. Yeah. I think. I guess.
You didn't get that in California.
Correct.
Yeah, no.
I do think that there's a different level of access to like outdoors here versus in California, and I do miss how close so much recreational stuff is there. You know, the ocean, and also there's mountains and just more parks, whereas here it feels like the parks are smaller or farther away, or mostly one direction, which is like the Boundary Waters.
Yeah, north.
That's funny because there's a lot of places with a lot less access to outdoor activities than Minnesota.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just happen to have been in an active outdoor activity rich region of California.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like not all California is like that. But
no. I mean, if you're in LA, you're not thinking like,
well, you have to drive to go see that one tree.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to miss the access to the outdoors.
Yep.
Sure.
Like, yeah, that's funny because I mean, really, truly, I think, you know, most upper Midwesterners, especially Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, whatever, would say we have access to outdoor activities.
Totally.
But you feel like you're missing out a little bit being here.
Yeah.
Versus I think what so.
On the variety.
Variety.
I mean, the ocean is awesome.
Yeah.
So are mountains.
Yeah. They're really cool.
Yeah. But I really appreciate having the lakes here. Yeah, in the Twin Cities.
Well, we do have those.
Yeah,
got a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
A lot of those.
Yep. So you paddled in the Quetico for 5 days, and you did roughly 125 miles. It sounds like. I like it. Well, we're going paddling. He's gonna.
I know.
He's coming on a trip.
I've heard.
Yeah.
You invited. I heard it. It's recorded.
Damn. I'm in a far off distant place.
Yeah, I know.
Come on back, Sam.
Wow, you might not know this, but he's planning your trip right now. His head.
Well,
so
to go back to bread.
Yes.
When you have when you bring a line of bread with you to the Quetico or the Boundary Waters, it doesn't get smushed in your pack because it has some stability and like
it's
durability.
Dense.
Yeah. Whereas when you bring other soft stuff, it just gets turned into a tortilla.
Shitty bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns into a tortilla.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much.
That's why we brought tortillas rather than bread. Or I bake bread on the trip.
Ooh.
Oh.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Now, how would you do that?
How would I bake bread?
Yeah, in the
cast
trip.
Iron.
You just have it all there, throw it on there.
You can do it either with a reflector oven.
Right.
Which
you just happen to have in your canoe. So I'm like, dude, you need to explain a little bit more.
No, you can... It's a collapsible metal device that reflects the heat from an open campfire into sort of an oven space, and you can bake within it.
Nice.
You can also do this in a Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way too heavy to carry.
Well, yeah, as you say.
Mostly.
So I'm going back to the question.
Yeah, but you can you can do it in a regular like pot as well. Like there are ways to bake out on the trail. So
okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
I haven't done a lot of trail baking, so that's why I was asking. Well, not bread.
Right.
Yeah.
So the second half always goes off the rails a bit. But
someone mentions fishing or canoeing and we lose you. It's like, where do you fish?
I really am in a far off space. I am. I know.
That's all right.
I am in 2025, in the summer of 2025, I'm leading a trip up to Hudson Bay.
Cool.
So I've been up there three times. I'm retracing one of the trips I've been on in the past, but my boys will be 18 and 16, and I want them to experience this, and I didn't send them to the camp that introduced me to all of this. So, yes, I'm maybe always off canoeing somewhere or something if you dig too deep.
If you have a passion, that's what you want to do.
I know, but...
Yeah.
I get made fun of for talking about canoeing all the time.
What? When?
Not by us.
First time.
By you and everyone else.
Not on this show.
I bring up summer camps and canoeing all the time. I can't help it.
I've never listened to the show.
I was wearing Wannigan today.
Okay, that's weird because why?
In a life jacket, and I had a paddle in my hand, and I was walking
just walking around the yard
at the office making canoeing motions.
I was like, so you're that guy.
Okay. There's something wrong with me.
No, it's fine. Yes.
But Chris, there's nothing wrong with you.
No. You're making good bread, sharing the story.
Let's hear what is wrong with you. How about what's your crazy thing that everyone's like,
besides
oh my God,
he left Germany to come here.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of like suffering.
Yeah.
It sounds like either that or you like the thought of suffering, right?
Maybe. Like, I don't know. I mean, baking
have
is
you
really
ever
hard.
Really suffered?
Right, it's really hard. You have to have the bad parts to enjoy the good parts and appreciate what the good stuff really
is. Yeah, I don't know. It's so we currently have a 4 a.m. start time.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Oh, don't worry about the.
Oh, I thought you were like taking us out of the show.
Exactly.
No, that noise is the sound of okay. Well,
God only knows
that got boring. We're done. That's awful. No, it's a 4 a.m. start time. Who knows what goes on in this
place?
Yeah,
who knows?
Like, sure.
Yeah,
we're in a basement.
Yeah. I mean, so in my mind, 4 a.m. is not early,
right?
Relatively speaking,
normal.
It's very early.
It's super normal.
Or it could be late.
Yeah. I almost never see 4 a.m. unless I've stayed up through the night to 4 a.m.
Right.
But it's more livable than 1 a.m. You know, you can go to bed at 9 and you could get close to enough sleep.
Yeah.
Right. And take a nap. But it's a very physical job, and it takes a lot out of you. And so part of what we're doing is trying to reduce waste, because waste is bad for all the farm, or like, you know, there's waste from like the energy creating the food, growing it, the soil, and then also like our work too. And so we're trying to honor everything, including our own work. And so trying to reduce waste, but it's still just a lot of work, but it's, you show up every day and so or 5 days we can keep doing it. And then I finish work and I go on a run, and I run fast and long.
But that's like, I mean, you're not, no one's imposing this on you.
Right.
No, but I am.
You're making this choice.
I'm choosing it.
To enjoy that part of it, which is good.
That's what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So go back.
So you're neurotic or something is what you're saying. Because you're choosing to do something that you yourself think of as not necessarily being your favorite thing to do in that moment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and also making things harder.
Yeah.
And but you're
because you could just relax. Oh, I got to do this again tomorrow. Let's rest up. Nah.
That's right.
Let's just keep going. Keep rolling.
There's also a lot of things at the bakery that we could do easier if we were not sourcing local food.
What does it say? But easier isn't always better.
Do easier.
No, easier is not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some things, if it's hard to do it, there's a reason it's hard to do it. It's the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes
a
difference.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
Do you earn a living? Baking bread.
Yeah.
It's
shop's still open.
Shop is still open. We have been making money.
Yeah,
we don't make a ton of money, but
right.
I only ask that because I think that's when you own a business, people's perception of business owners is that somehow they're, well, I would say it works both ways. They're either like, oh, you must be making money. Like you're doing quite well. You own your own business.
Right. And it's like, and then you go to those people. You've obviously never owned your own business.
Yeah. Or they're like, I have no idea how you are possibly still in business, because how could you ever make money selling beads?
Right.
Or something.
Right.
You know, like there's these things where you're like, you've been around 20 years and I've never seen you sell a single thing. Like, I don't get how you're still in business, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Front for Drugs, I think is what that is. Anyway, or it used to be.
Right. Your local bead seller.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Down in the corner.
How many people? And then you run into people that are like, oh, I buy beads all the time. Like,
exactly.
You do?
What?
Like, who buys beads?
Yes.
And then he gives you a beaded keychain. I made this last night.
Exactly. Yeah.
See? Like, okay.
See, you're like, all right, this is real.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's not just drugs.
But a bakery, I mean, there's some very real hard costs. Mm-hmm. In owning a bakery, and there's some very real
time investment.
I mean, there's
it doesn't just happen quickly. Mm-hmm. I was about to say it doesn't happen overnight, but it literally does.
It does.
Yeah. It does happen overnight. Yeah. And then you've got employees, and you've got things, and you got like laws and regulations to do. So like you make money though, right? I mean, like
we make money.
Good.
Yes.
I think, but that's an important question, because like when you see someone who's doing something unique and you want it to be sustainable, you're like, okay, this sounds cool. This sounds
and
like something.
Their passion.
Yes, you're doing something you enjoy. Your passion. You're putting out a great product that's local. You were like, please. How do we make sure these people are still making money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that is kind of that is kind of the point of what I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of like, is there a future in which, let's say, the kids of Minneapolis or whatever are eating bread made at places like yours? Because the goal of business forever has been to become this wondrous bread manufacturer.
I'm so upset with what I started. I'm not high. No,
no one's
I started it. It's my own fault.
Where like, okay, you won. You make it so dirt cheap. It doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be good for the kids. It doesn't have to be anything. You make it so dirt cheap that you won. Mm-hmm. You put
I can't do this
everyone
anymore.
Else out of business.
Yeah, that's the fear.
There's got to be a future in which, no, actually, like, is there any way that you can be helping other people who might be interested in doing kind of the same thing understand how a model like this works? And obviously, you're not going to get rich doing this. Like,
yeah,
you're
no.
not.
Correct.
You're no. not. It's
I
not.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah,
that would
could
be
wrong.
Yeah,
could
be wouldn't wrong. That be nice? Be but not planning on it.
I mean, start a podcast, see if you get rich. It's
I think we've answered that
deep
one.
Cuts.
Yeah,
ooh, it's not going to do it for you.
Yep.
What I do love. I mean, let's take a step back from bread for a second, which is dry beer, and let's go to wet bread, which is beer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The process is very similar. The process is very similar. You're using a lot of the same ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
You're producing this product for a very long time.
Are you asking him to make you drunken bread?
No.
Okay, good. Continue
then.
Continue
bread with alcohol in it?
Exactly.
That's what I'm wondering. No, but for a very long time, the beer industry was dominated by a very small number of players.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this craft brewing thing that, you know, revolution that happened, like in Germany, they've had craft breweries forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they've had small bakers in every little town.
Every place was local.
And so what I think, you know, America in some way is sort of missing is this, like, why is it important to support these small manufacturers of things in your community? Because things are better when that happens.
Yeah.
We get better products because people like yourself are out there making them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, we must support them. And therefore, we must also figure out a way to sort of propagate that in a community so other people can do. Because you can't do this alone. You can't make.
You can only make so much bread.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I also think, though, it's like not just us. It's like I can name a bunch of farmers that we source from. Mm-hmm. And so we are also supporting a lot of local communities as well.
Yeah.
Of course.
And like, you know, paying farmers directly. And there aren't like commodity traders.
Yeah, you're not trading.
There's no mistaking and cut.
Yeah.
No middle people.
There's no middle people. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's a lot of benefit to being a local business that is a local business.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it is possible. You know, we are making money. We're not making a ton of money. It's right. also only been 2 years, and I feel like we are relatively unknown for like the larger Twin Cities area.
Right.
And my maybe naive goal is that people start asking other businesses questions about where their food comes from.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of greenwashing and then a lot of just like, we buy local food.
Yeah.
But then they don't like write any name. Like where? Right. Like just
well, if, from where?
Yeah.
Well, we go to Cub and we buy it, we sell it here. It's local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I would, so
Cisco
sort of just
not
like
local.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like hoping that consumers maybe like challenge food establishments more and be like, oh, like it says local, like where is it from? Can you tell me?
Yeah.
And then hopefully there'll be like enough interest where like they'll look into purchasing local food.
Right.
You know, it takes more time, to deal with it. It costs more money. Like we probably spent $50,000 more last year buying local food. Partly like the cost of the raw ingredients, then also we process everything ourselves. So when we made, you know, like pumpkin pies, we bought 400 or 500 pounds of butternut squash and Hokkaido squash, and we cut them, roasted them,
right,
took all the guts out, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's easy.
Yeah.
That's just like a,
you know,
super just a couple hours.
That's
in the
a
kitchen.
Day.
Yeah. But you know, so like the costs are higher, but also the rewards are higher.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and the end result is way better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I would say that expecting consumers to challenge anyone is almost impossible in a certain way.
Large majority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I and not to say that what you're talking about isn't going to happen, but I would say that just in general, people need to kind of wake up to the fact that good food is good food and bad food is bad food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're putting this fuel in you, this thing that sustains your life, if you kind of know what's not good.
Yeah.
Like you kind of see it and feel it and then you eat it.
Yeah.
And
you can be eating something right, this tastes convenient.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like,
right.
And that's not necessarily good. It's
Don't get me wrong. I love me a chili cheese Frito. Like, you know, I'll do that on a road trip. But if the expectation is that we're going to eat all of that stuff all the time, we're not going to get away from being unhealthy and obese and all the rest of the things that we have going on, you know. So you're doing as much as a person can possibly do by really, in a certain way, sacrificing your time and your efforts and your goal. You're not a marketer.
No.
You're a bread maker.
Mm-hmm. You gave up marketing a long time ago.
And if you'd gone into marketing, you know, you might be like, well, I have a fucking big boat.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I love my big boat and I do this. But you're doing something that is not just altruistic. It's just good for the community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you're a part of a network of people also working to do good things for a community.
Yeah, which is a big deal.
Yeah, totally.
And that's the, you know, the Lake Street. I mean, that we need, every community needs stuff like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So,
for sure.
I know I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, what's the small loaves of very dense brown and black bread from Germany that I...
Roggen?
Yeah, the Roggen.
Which means rye.
I always said Roggenbrot, right? Is it Roggenbrot or but it's Roggenbrot?
Whatever.
Yeah, I spoke German like a 4-year-old German. Like right. Everything was wrong, you know. Like,
pointed and
yeah. But man, it was so good.
Thank you.
And so true to what I know from Germany. The only thing I need you to figure out, I need you to get Schmierkäse. Because cream cheese is not Schmierkäse. Schmierkäse is different. Do you know what I'm talking about? Figure out how to import Schmierkäse and make my day.
Or you could just do it.
Yeah,
I think he's got enough going on between running and making bread.
He's making the bread. You're supposed to put the Schmierkäse on the bread.
Sounds like you're supposed to bring the Schmierkäse.
Has an international cheese shop?
Who does?
Serdex.
Okay, fine.
Or your friend
Kieran. It sounds like you're saying spreadable cheese.
Yeah, Schmierkäse is... I mean,
that's it.
Like quark? Like it's a very vague term.
It is a vague term, but I feel like Schmierkäse, like the direct translation, I never was told that it had a name other than Schmierkäse. They were like,
do you think they were just maybe dumbing that down for the American?
I'm gonna go with a yes. Like, I'm gonna say I think you nailed that.
Why doesn't it have like a proper name?
They're poking me. They're like, look,
what words will he know?
He looks like a 2-year-old. It's I don't mind. I got to drink a lot of beer. Ich möchte eine Bier bitte. That's the first thing they told me. Or ich willst eine Bier bitte, which is more like give me a beer now versus I would like a beer anyway.
Well, they knew you're American and you'd want to be rude.
No, but they were like, that's the first thing they taught me. They're like, you need to know one thing.
Yeah.
You know, my girlfriend at the time understood me well. Anyway, I would say Laughing Cow is similar in texture to what they told me. But Schmierkäse came in these little tubs like cream cheese, but cream cheese isn't the same as Schmierkäse. It had a different flavor, a little more like Laughing Cow. I don't know. Someone's got to fix this for me so I can have my damn...
Call into the show and tell us.
Do you make Brochen?
We don't.
Someone needs to make Brochen, too. It's so good.
Yeah, but like 12 people buy it.
Oh my God, I would be an evangelist. I would be an evangelist for Brochen. No, I hear you. But so you've tried to make it.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any sort of special holiday where you're going to make it that I can be alerted to?
So that I can
come down and try and...
Selfless.
Maybe Christmas. Yes.
Maybe Christmas. Maybe.
That's a no.
Maybe.
Do you remember the Brochen?
It's not happening, Sam.
Yeah.
You need to move on. The rest of us have moved on. You should too.
I'm not moving on.
Chris ain't doing it.
We need to move on because we are a good 40 minutes. And I'm,
it's all been good.
It's the silliest little show around.
God bless.
I don't know. But Chris, I gotta say, I didn't know what to expect.
I'm excited to come in and get some bread.
You know,
I am, and tell other people about it.
I mean,
you mentioned pie. So
what?
I mean, like you have.
This
like,
is the first I've heard of pie. We didn't bring a pie earlier.
Pie,
well,
he was
I thought
about
it was pumpkin bread.
Pumpkin
pie.
We
do breads, pastries, croissants, pies, sandwiches.
Croissant. Okay.
It's good. That's French, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the one thing they got right.
Yeah, that's true.
That and a baguette.
Baguettes.
Baguettes. No, I'm kidding. I'm not that mean to the
Dijonais?
French.
Oh God, gross.
I mean, all bread is good bread. But, I mean, except for, I mean, when we're talking.
You mean American bread?
Yeah. No. I mean, if it doesn't come in a long, skinny bag, it's probably a good start.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. I very much appreciate you taking this little chance on coming in on our silly little show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I think we all really enjoyed getting to know you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And your bakery.
I know.
People better go buy some bread.
Yes.
Thank you.
I would tell people, I would say, how would people find you? But it's like the internet age.
They'll figure it out.
We'll put notes.
Yeah. I mean, we're next to Merlin's Rest. I feel like a lot of people know Merlin's Rest.
A lot of people do know Merlin's Rest.
Yeah.
So you're on Lake Street, and it's, can you spell it for us, though?
L-A-U-N-E.
Yep. Launa Bread?
Launa Bread.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, you did it. You made it to the end of another show. Thank you all so much for listening to our show. We really, really appreciate it. Don't forget to send us your questions, comments, or even your guest requests. Maybe you want to be a guest. Maybe you know someone who would be a great guest. Send them in to info@legacymatterspodcast.com. All right. See you next time. Thank you. Theme music and all the other music that you've heard on this show is created by and recorded by the fabulous Captain Al. Check him out.